Lord, we want the Lord to just help us and have His way. Amen. Appreciate your worship and the Spirit of God we can feel in here today. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 13. You know, I'm not a fan of it getting dark so early. It just feels so late. Feels like bedtime, don't it? Oh, man. Hallelujah. Well, wake up because it's not bedtime, okay? All right. Praise the Lord. Matthew 13, if you found it, say amen. Praise the Lord. 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Praise the Lord. I want you to notice there in verse 28 that he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. Praise the Lord. I just want to preach to you for a few minutes today on an enemy hath done this. Will you pray with us today? Lord, we love you. Praise you. Thank you, Lord. I pray that your anointing would be here. I feel your presence right now. God, I know you're ready to help us and give us strength, Lord, and to aid us in the problems of life. I pray, God, that my words would be few, but yours many. For your word, God, does not return void. And God, I know that you're able to do a mighty work tonight. I pray for deliverance for some. I pray for salvation. Lord, I pray that some would be filled, revived, God. But Lord, I pray that you'd lift us up and bind up the brokenhearted. And Lord, remind us that you are on our side and fighting for us. We love you, Jesus. And in his name, everyone says, amen. You may be seated today. Praise the Lord. Tonight, excuse me, I'm stuck on today because it's usually daylight about this time when I'm up here preaching. So, praise the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and read to you a few more scriptures out of Matthew chapter 13, just because I want you to get exactly what Jesus is saying here when he's giving them this parable. And he kind of goes along with the disciples questioning him, asking him, show us what this means. And so in verse 37 in Matthew 13, follow along with me. Jesus answers and says unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, or is Jesus Christ. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. The reason I read that to you is because I want you to understand the meaning of the parable that Jesus is giving. And he pretty much explains it very simply there about what is going on here and what he's trying to explain and the truth he's trying to give us through that parable. But I want to look at a truth within the truth, if I may, tonight, that Jesus speaks in this parable here. And I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about an enemy has done this. An enemy hath done this. Look at your neighbor and tell him an enemy hath done this. I can't hardly talk tonight. Okay. I looked up some questions that people might ask God. And an internet source delivered in a mighty way. You know, the internet's a good thing when you need to find an answer to a question. This internet source was collegenet.com. And on that website, somebody had said, you know, if you could sit down with God and ask him a question, what would you say? And these are some examples of the questions that they asked or said they would ask God. How do we get to heaven? And how do you decide who gets in? What's the criteria? That's what one man asked. One person asked, which religion is the true church of God? Another asked, "Why did you take my father?" Another asked, "Did you really create a mountain, trees, and a midget all in the same day?" I have no idea where they get that question. Why did you create the world? What's the point? Is everything in the Bible true? One of my favorites. Where do the socks go? You get that? If you do laundry, you get that, okay? What is your will for my life? Several asked that one. But the question that was more common than any other was one that so many have asked in the past, and so many of us have probably asked within our own hearts. God, why would you allow so much hate, evil, or suffering in this world? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do I have to go through so much bad stuff in my life? Why do I have to suffer? You ever asked those questions before? You may not have said it out loud, but in your heart, I'm sure we have at times wondered why there's so much bad in this world. I remember one time going to a hospital to visit a man who had gotten ready, who was getting ready to have a surgery on his kidneys. And I said, "I would like to pray for you." And he said, "Why would you want to, I don't expect God to help me when there's starving orphans in Africa." And I was like, okay, this guy's not really going to want me to pray for him that God would heal him. But he was concerned more with why God would allow these people in other countries to starve and be war-torn and have to battle with AIDS and all of these things. And so in his heart, he was questioning why in the world God would let these kind of things go on and happen. You know, there's a lot of bad stuff that's happening in our world. Amen. There's a lot of bad stuff in our country, even in our city, and maybe in your life there's some bad things that are going on. But I want to tell you tonight that it's not a result of something God is doing, okay? An enemy hath done this. An enemy hath done this. Now, something to notice about this story is that every single character and entity that is given in the parable is explained later by Jesus Christ and what it represented. Like the man who owned the garden, who went out to sow the seed was the Lord, and the enemy who came in to sow the bad seed was the devil, and the reapers were the angels, and the field is the world, and the good seed is the children of God, and the bad seed and the tares is the wicked one's children. And so he mentions what everybody is, except for the servants that go to him and ask, "Did you not sow good seed? Lord, did you not do good?" Or in other words, "Lord, did you do this evil? Master, have you sowed the tares with the wheat also? Why did you do this? This doesn't make sense. All of a sudden now we see growing in the crops some bad seed, and you would never have done this before. Why did you do this?" And he had to explain to those servants, and he doesn't tell us who the servants are, and I believe he sometimes God leaves it open to our interpretation and imagination. And it could be you tonight that's one of those servants who's asked God, "Why is there so much evil in my life? Why have I tried so hard to raise my kids right and they continue to do wrong? Why, God, is my family sick? Why am I sick? Why won't these people get saved? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Why is there so much bad? God, did you do this?" And he simply tells them, "An enemy hath done this." Amen. How many of you have ever gone to God in the middle of a crisis and said, "God, why are you doing this to me? God, why are you letting this evil come upon me? Why, God?" You know, in the middle of a crisis or a storm, you can learn a lot about people, and you notice a lot about how people act. And many times, you know, people kind of respond in the same manner. One day, they're ready to face it with all they've got. I mean, one day they're like, "Bring it on, cancer, I can handle you. Come on, I'm ready to fight." And the next day they're like, "Man, I'm just going to die. Everything's going to be bad. The sky is falling, you know." One day they're like, "I can handle this problem, devil. You've been fighting me, but I'm going to be victorious." The next morning they wake up and they're like, "Oh, man. Where's this closest rest stop? Where can I give this thing up? Why, I can't make it." You ever been there? I know you have. We've all been there. But I want to remind you If you're wondering where this evil has come from in your life, I want to remind you, before you begin to blame it all on God, before you begin to blame it all on yourself. Now, I know there are consequences to our choices and our actions, and I'm not disregarding that at all when I'm preaching this, but there are some things that come upon us that are out of our control, and it's not God who's done it, it's not you who's done it, it's an enemy who has done this. Amen. Praise God. You know, there's always evil present in this world, and it's the attack of the enemy. So I want to point out to you four things from this parable that I believe will help us here tonight. And amen. I hope you just open your heart to the Lord and let God speak to you, because the Lord will speak to us. And I believe He spoke to me while I was studying this. So the first thing I want to point out to you is that God has always sown good seed. God has always sown good seed. Now, the good seed in the parable is the children of the kingdom that have been into the field or into the world that they might bear fruit for the kingdom of God. And this is definitely good seed that's sown by God. And because God is always delivering things that are meant for our good. Can I hear an amen on that? In Romans chapter 8, it tells us that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. So we know that God works things out for our good. And that principle is very, very vehemently put forth in Scripture, as we read in the book of James that God does not tempt men with evil. Amen. I'm glad He doesn't. Praise the Lord. We read in Genesis how you know, Joseph, there his brothers had devised some plans and began to act on those plans and try to destroy Joseph's life. And Joseph, at the end of the story, looked at his brothers and said, you know, what was meant for evil, God turned out for what? For good. Praise the Lord. You can read in the book of Job that God is not the one who sends the tornadoes and the fire and the boils and the sickness. Actually, He's the one who allows the enemy to do the work that he does in Job's life and try to destroy who Job is. So God is not the one who sends evil into our lives. He's not the author of things that are evil. Now, when we read about the people of Israel, when God delivered them from Egypt, what was a lot of their wondering, what did it consist of? What? Complaining, right? They were always complaining. They were always doubting. They were always fearful. They were always looking back. They were disobedient. And it wasn't God who drove them to the wilderness. It was a bunch of those things when they disobeyed and they went against God and they feared the land and the giants in the land. It wasn't God who sent them there. It was their own actions. An enemy hath done this. It wasn't God who threw Daniel in the lion's den. It was the king who threw him in the lion's den. It wasn't God. An enemy hath done this. You know, God has received blame in centuries past for all the evil that is always present in this world. But you know, God is not the giver of evil things. He's the giver of good things. It's an enemy that hath done this. Before you start blaming God, let me tell you, an enemy is the one who's doing this in your life. James 1:17 talks about the Lord. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Praise God. I read a statement by a preacher this week, and he said, all truth is God's truth. And that's good, isn't it? That God is the originator of truth. Therefore, if something is true, it belongs to God. It's true. That's great. And so I thought that was good, and so I came up with one of my own. All good is God's good. Actually, James 1:17 says that. Every good gift comes from the Father of lights. Jesus made this statement in Mark chapter 10, verse 18, that there is none good but one, that is God. God is good. God is plainly the giver of all good things. But still, some of you have been questioning why He has allowed all of this evil to happen. And you're questioning why He's rewarded you this way. Why are my kids sinning and being rebellious? Why is my parents having trouble in their marriage? Why have I been abused? Why is God letting this happen? Why did God bring this into my life? And let me remind you, it's an enemy that hath done this. That's the second point. The enemy is the one who's doing the evil. Now, the enemy in the parable is the devil. Look at your neighbor and say, it's the devil. The very first mention of the devil in the Word of God is in Genesis chapter 3. And we see him as a serpent, as a subtle creature. In other words, he was crafty or sly or sneaky. Do you know anybody like that? You don't trust them, do you? Hopefully not. We read that he desires to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's depicted as a roaring lion roaming about seeking whom he may devour. That's an enemy, isn't it? Now the chief goal of Satan, and it's always been this, is to destroy the throne of God. He's the one to blame for all the evil in the world. Listen to me, the enemy is the one who devises all diseases. The enemy is the one who's the father of all lies, and he's the one who's the master of all evil, and he's the one who's done this. He's the enemy that hath done this. Now, the way he's depicted in this story is as one that goes in the night and sows the seed of the tares while men slept. You know, he went out and he just probably, I can see, you know, that enemy climbing the fence and just looking around. And he's probably got his mask on, you know, and he's got his bag of bad seeds. And he just throws them all over the place. And he's probably laughing, you know, while he's doing it, trying to keep himself quiet, giggling that evil giggle. You ever heard an evil giggle? It's kind of weird, but he was doing it. And he was working in the dark. You know, one thing about Satan that you'll notice is even though he can manifest himself as an angel of light, he always works on the dark side of things. He always does. And so he sowed some seed that was tares. And there's something you need to know about tares and wheat is that those two things really resemble each other very closely. They do. The tares have actually been termed false wheat because as they're growing together, they look so much like the real thing. Now, the devil's good at making things confusing in your life. That's what he does. That's who he is. So these tares, they can only be found different when the seed begins to come to fruition and to ripen. When wheat ripens, it's brown. And when tares ripe, they are black. But these tares are very dangerous. They can infect the whole field with parasites and fungus. And actually, if they're consumed, they can cause death. And the enemy have done this. What it shows us is how crafty the enemy was, and he still is, even back in Jesus' day and all the way here. So you know, we know good things come, but there are times when bad things come into our life, and they're so guarded by the enemy and his plans, and our eyes can be shaded at times, and we'll start to believe that they come from the same source that the good things come from. It's what the devil does. It's how he tries to persuade us. You know, when you make that decision to do something and follow the will of God for your life, some bad things may start to happen and you'll begin to think that God is punishing you or that you did the wrong thing. But let me tell you tonight, an enemy hath done this. I remember hearing a story about a young person who went to Bible college, and they, while they were at Bible college, the first day they backed out of their parking spot and hit a stop sign. And so they thought it was a sign from God that they needed to leave. And so they left. But it was an enemy that was working to destroy that life. He can make cancer seem like God's punishment. He can make the death of a child look like God's indifference. He can make war and starvation look like a God who's afar off and is not working in our world and in our country and in our lives. His goal is to try to get you to doubt and get your faith to waver. When that happens, in that moment of wavering faith, the enemy begins to get his foot in the door and lays a very small foundation that's designed to lead up to a huge and stronghold that the enemy wants to build in your life. You know that saying, if you give him an inch, he will take a mile. The devil is like that. When you begin to waver, he begins to pull a string in your life and try to take you down a road where all you do every single day when you get up is question God and say, God, why did you let this happen? Why did you bring this into my life? And you may be asking yourself that today, but let me remind you, an enemy hath done this. It is not your fault. An enemy hath done this. But while we continue to try to do good, the tares continue to spread evil. A line from the song Farther Along puts it like this: then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year. Psalm chapter 2, verse 1, David poses a question. He says, why do the heathen rage? You know, the heathen are raging in our world. The heathen, they rage very much so in this day and hour. It's because an enemy hath done this. They attack the family. They attack the church. They attack the youth. They attack you. They attack everything that is of God. an enemy hath done this. If you look at things like abortion and divorce, they're common options to get out of unwanted situations. Oh, marriage is bad. Let me go to the attorney. I can mark a piece of paper and be done and over with. This baby that's in my stomach because of my own choice, man, I got to get rid of this thing. I know there's a place down the road I can go in and nobody will ever know. An enemy hath done this. Illegal substances are for sale in the halls of our schools and in the streets of our cities. I mean, it's sad to say, but anywhere you go, you can witness a crime right before your eyes. And because an enemy hath done this. A young man wrote a poem and he put it on YouTube and kind of made it kind of a really nice rhyme. And he talks about how he hates religion, but he loves Jesus. And his point he's trying to make is how when you get religious but lack a relationship with Christ, you've got it all wrong. And I understand the point he was trying to make. I didn't agree with everything he said, but I understand the point he was coming from. And you do have to fall in love with Jesus first and foremost, and that's a good thing. But somebody in response to that video, some wicked heathen who decided it was a good time to rage on for the enemy, made a similar video and he claimed this: I hate religion and I hate Jesus. Let me tell you guys tonight, the heathen are still raging. They're raging in droves. They're trying to destroy the works of God. They're trying to destroy God's people, and it's an enemy that hath done this. In youth this past week, we were having our guys and girls separated, and I listed 14 items on a piece of paper, and I told the guys, circle these things that can be used to fulfill the temptations of lust. And so they began. These weren't very in-depth things. I mean, I mentioned things like TV and music and stuff like that, so I didn't go very deep with it. But 14 items. You know how many items were circled? 14. You know why? Because the enemy is devising avenues everywhere for people to give in to temptation and to sin and to fall away and to blame themselves and to look at themselves with disgust and to say, I'm nothing more than a heathen. Amen. The heathen, yes, they are raging on, and we live in a society that is populated with card-carrying devils. But it is an enemy that hath done this. Amen. It is not God who decided, let me put sin in this planet and let me destroy lives and let me sow terror. And let me destroy the people that do good. Let me see if they'll... No, it's not God who has done this. Rather, it is the devil himself who has risen up and tried to defy the people of God. Amen. Praise God. But still yet, many of us, we question God. God, why? What have you done this for, God? It's not God. An enemy hath done this. You're asking God why your marriage has gotten so bad, why the disease has gotten so violent, and why the funds have gotten so low. You're asking God why He's allowed all of these things to happen, and you wonder if God still cares. Let me tell you, He does. It's the enemy that has done this. And at the end of the story, though, this is what's really exciting. At the end of the story, at the end of the parable, you know, the tares, they're growing up and they're doing all that they can to destroy the good field and the good seed, and they're doing everything they can to destroy what the master has planted and to destroy and what the master has built up and worked for and done good things in people's lives. And so the tares are trying to destroy all that. But at the end of the story, God sends forth the reapers and they gather the tares away from the good wheat. Praise God. And what's left still standing, the wheat, the good seed, the ones who are serving God, the ones who are serving Him in a righteous manner. Listen, the wheat is you, the wheat is me, and we represent the children of God. You know, David, when he asked, why do the heathen rage? It wasn't a question that demanded an answer. It wasn't a question that just, you know, you would ask, you know, to solve a problem. Rather, it was a rhetorical question. And for a grammar lesson, a rhetorical question is one that is asked in order to state a point. So for instance, let me just play out a scenario here. Say you're looking for something and you say to your wife, wife, where is this certain item? And she says, it's over there in that drawer. And so you go and you open the drawer and you say, it's not there. Your wife, and she comes over there, she moves one item and she picks up the item you were looking for. And you say, oh, I guess it was there. And she says, you didn't look, did you? She's not asking you to say yes or no. She's telling you, you didn't look. Why is that any of your business? That's a rhetorical question. In other words, get out of my way. It's none of your business. What are you doing? What are you doing here? In other words, you don't belong here. Get out. Weren't you even thinking? In other words, you were stupid. But David is basically stating this fact with that question. Yes, the heathen are raging for a cause, but their cause will ultimately be defeated. Come on now. There's no point to the heathen raging. There's no point to the enemy raging forward. Why? Because the righteous people of God will always win in the battle. Praise the Lord. So what I come here to tell you today is I know it's dark, and I know the light at the end of the tunnel seems so far away. But if you'll hold on a little while longer, you'll realize it wasn't God who has sent this thing in your life and try to destroy you. Rather, he's making a way of escape. It's an enemy that had done this. It wasn't God who sent the cancer. It wasn't God who told Eve to bite the fruit. It wasn't God who put the three Hebrew boys there in the fiery furnace. It was an enemy that had done this. But it was God who said, by my stripes, you are healed. Amen. But it was God who said, you know what? Eve, you may have fallen away, but I'm going to raise up a seed. Amen. I'm going to raise up a master, a savior, a redeemer who will take away the sins of the world. It was God, amen, who the king looked in the fire and he said, there's one, there's two, there's three, there's four. What is that? It is God coming to deliver. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come on now. At the end of the battle, the righteous are always standing. At the end of the storm, like Brother Jones preached, you can look at that thing straight in the face and say, I'm going to stand because I know you're nothing but a trick of the enemy. And God said, when the enemy rises up, I'll lift up a standard. Amen. He said, you know what? The devil may form devices to destroy you, but they're not going to work. Amen. You know why? Because God is always on your side. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I remember when my mom first got diagnosed with cancer. My mom had cancer two times. She survived them both times. Praise the Lord. God's good. Amen. But I remember the first time she got diagnosed, I was 13 years old, and I remember crying. But I remember the thing that really pushed me over the edge was my dad. My dad's a Marine. My dad's tough. My dad don't cry. Hell, he didn't used to. He does now sometimes. My wife really changed his heart, I think. Amen. You should have seen that the first time she left when she visited that Thanksgiving, man. He cried when she got on the plane. I mean, it was so sad. But my dad, he was a stubborn man. He was strong. He didn't let his emotions show unless it was, you know, something to, he was very competitive. So if we're playing basketball, he might get a little aggravated every once in a while. But I mean, he was a strong person. He didn't cry, but I remember he went to a room all by himself and I heard him weeping and he was asking God, why? God, why? Why have you done this? Why have you done this? But God began to speak to my dad's heart. Amen. And my dad, he listened to the voice of the Lord. Instead of talking in that misery, instead of saying, God don't love us anymore, God never cared. Listen, there were people who said about my parents, if they had done God's will, she wouldn't have got cancer. So they were trying to be like Job's friends and try to destroy and say it's punishment. But my dad, he didn't let that dissuade him or persuade him to turn aside. Every single service we were present there, he still preached the gospel. He still stood on the word of the Lord. You know why? Because God had sent him a word. Even though it's raining on you and it rains on the just and the unjust, at the end of the storm, I'm still God and I'm still good. Praise God. So listen to me. It doesn't matter what the enemy has said. It doesn't matter what the situation is. It don't matter what tomorrow looks like, because God is still God and that ain't never going to change. Come on with me now. God is still God and that won't ever change. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to tell you a story about my wife again. I don't know, you may get tired of it, but I mean, my wife's a miracle. Praise the Lord. And And I just want to tell you something about the situation that she went through when she had that stroke. We were sitting in here on a Sunday, not in here, but at the church we were going to on a Sunday night. And she sat down. I sat down beside her. I looked at her and I said, "What's wrong with you?" And she said, "I don't know. I don't know. I don't know." And I said, "Well, is it the baby? I don't know. I don't know." She was pregnant with Hayden at the time. What's wrong? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. That's all she could say. And so I began to cry immediately. I mean, I'm just hysterical there. And I'm like, "Oh God, she's losing this baby. We don't know what to do." You know, I didn't know what to, I mean, this was our first child and we were excited about it. And so we just, I began to pray for her and I tried to get her up because I was going to take her to the hospital and she couldn't walk. And I mean, that was scary. She just fell right back into the pew. And so the service just immediately stopped and everybody began to pray. And I praise God for the saints of his church. Amen. And the power of prayer. But we began to pray for her and that God would just minister to her. And we got her to the hospital as quickly as we could. And we took her into the ER and they immediately came in to see her because she was expecting. And you take priority over everyone else when you're having a baby. You know, the mall parking lot, they give you front row spots and all that stuff. You know, it's always a good thing if your wife's expecting. Okay. You get a front row spot. But there she was. She was expecting. And so they took her back to that room. And I mean, it was sad. I sat her down there on the bed and I didn't realize that her whole right side was numb. And I just sat her down there and it makes me cry thinking about it. But when I got up, she fell over and hit her head on a table. And I mean, she bruised her whole side of her face. And I was like, "Man, Cruz, you're an idiot." You know, and there we were in the darkest hour of our life. She went back for a CAT scan and she had to get Cara flighted or Halo flighted all the way to Kansas City. I had to drive 3.5 hours just to get to the hospital, and I didn't know where I was going. We got lost on the way, and so that night, about 4 a.m, I finally got there and went into her room, and she was asleep, and everything looked fine with the baby, and they just didn't know what to do. I mean, she couldn't say a word. She couldn't talk. She couldn't do anything. And it was dark. And I mean, I remember there was times when I go into my car by myself and I would just hit the steering wheel and I would ask God, "Why? Why are you doing this?" But my wife, in that darkest hour, her faith did not waver. You know why? Because she had understood that even though she couldn't talk to me, she could talk to God. Amen. And even though I was trying to be strong for her, she was strong for me. Praise the Lord. And she had a promise. I mean, while she was there in the CAT scan, she said the Holy Ghost spoke to her heart and said, "Katie, everything's going to be okay." Praise God. And you know what? She realized from that moment it wasn't a punishment from God. It wasn't something that God was trying to destroy our lives. It wasn't a mistake that we had made by moving up there to go to Bible school that caused a problem. Rather, it was an enemy that had done this. And you know what? When the enemy does things to God's people, even though for a season it may seem like he has the upper hand, when you have faith in the one, amen, you have faith in the one who makes all things well, you can know this, that at the end of the battle, you're going to be stomping on the devil's head. Amen. That old serpent's going to be destroyed. Praise God. You know why? Because God is God. And even though the enemy does a lot of things, God does better things. And even though the enemy has a lot of power, his power is no match for the power of our God. Hallelujah. Stand with me right now and just worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen to me. Parent, you're being discouraged. You're wondering, how in the world am I going to do this? It's been so difficult. It's been so hard. I don't know how I can raise these kids. I got no support at home. It's difficult. Let me tell you, it's not your fault that things are going bad. The enemy's just trying to destroy your home and your life. You know what you need to do? You need to make a commitment today that you're going to hold on to the rope, amen, that God has laid down before you, and you're not going to let go of Him because He's going to pull you and your family to safety. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of you people, you've got bad reports at the doctor's office. You're sick. You've been expecting a healing and it hasn't come. Don't begin to blame God. Don't begin to blame the Lord. It's not God who has done this. Rather, it is an enemy. It is the devil who has tried to destroy your life. Listen to me. Hold on to the Word of God that with His stripes we are healed. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sister Madeline, come to the piano for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The enemy does some powerful things. But at the end, those evil things the enemy has sown, they're going to be taken out, thrown into the furnace, burned away. They're going to be gone. They're not going to matter anymore. They're going to be an afterthought. It's going to be like they never came. But the wheat, the people of God, the good things that God has done, they're not going to be shaken with this world. They're going to be standing in the end. Praise God. Listen, God's doing things in your life. Don't let what the devil's trying to do destroy your faith in Him. God's going to do a mighty work in your heart. Trust in Him today. Trust in Him today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Every head bowed tonight. Jesus, I pray right now, God, just speak to hearts. I'm going to do a couple things right here. And I want you to respond honestly. So bow your heads and close your eyes so nobody can see how people are going to respond here. But you are one who says, Brother Cruz, I have been questioning and saying, God, why are you doing this to me? But tonight I want to make a commitment that I'm not going to question God about Him being the author of this sin or the author of this evil. I'm going to trust Him to be the author of my faith and the author of good things in my life. Would you begin to come to the altar if that's you tonight? You're saying, Brother Cruz, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to believe in God. I'm going to hold on to God. I'm going to trust that even though there's evil going on all around me, I'm still going to hold to His unchanging hand because He's going to help me. Is there any more tonight who need to come up here and just really open your heart to God and just say, oh, even though it's hard and difficult right now, I'm still going to trust God. Come on now. That's good. That's good. It's a good response. Some of you parents, you're having a hard time dealing with these situations in your home, and you need the presence of God to remind you that He's still on your side. He's still fighting, and you're more than a conqueror. Why don't you begin to come and make your way to the front? Hallelujah. Come on now. Hallelujah. With God, you're victorious. With God, you are victorious. Hallelujah. Some of you young people, you've been blaming yourself for the bad things that's happening in your home. It's not your fault. It's God. It's the devil who's done this, but it's God who's got the victory. Why don't you come and find a place to pray? Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. God is here to help you right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. How about we all just come and gather around to this altar right now? And just begin to lift up the name of the Lord and trust Him for the provision that we need, for the help that we need. That even though the enemy is raging, even though the heathen rages, God is stronger than anything the enemy can conjure up. Amen. And you're going to be victorious. You're going to win the battle. You're going to win the fight. God's on your side. God is on your side. An enemy hath done this. Oh God, you're fighting for us. God, you're on our side. It's been dry for a while in your life. You're beginning to think that you're never going to feel the Spirit of God again. Let me tell you, the enemy's trying to destroy your faith in God and His activity in your life. You need to trust God that He's going to make a way in the desert. Amen. He's going to provide a wellspring of living water. Praise the Lord tonight in your life. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't try to make it your own way. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. Praise God. Acknowledge Him tonight. He's on your side. He's fighting for you. And I promise, when you trust Him, you'll be victorious. Every single time. Every single time.
It's hard to do when you feel like you've